Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham, embracing what's fun with Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080.
It was a little mysterious how all these Connecticut youngsters back in 73 made it to Watkins Glen and started to put together basically some pop-up radio programming. That's what I've been dubbing it. Pop-up radio programming to coincide with the big Watkins Glen concert that brought out performances and jam sessions with the Allman Brothers, the band, and the Grateful Dead. And our very own John Ramsey was there. But that is coming up this hour on Spotlight Connecticut. As we always do, we start off with Spotlight Connecticut headlines to get everybody started. In 1974, it was a gas shortage. And in 2024, are we headed to a chocolate shortage? I know that people don't want to hear that. I know that you don't want to think about that, right? Because so many of us, myself included, we all love our chocolate. But this is actually an issue that I became aware of back in July, and nobody wanted to talk about it. I think the earliest traces of this problem go back to perhaps May. I found some news coverage and some articles going back to May of this year talking about how cocoa is in very high demand, and it's becoming a little harder to make our beloved chocolate products. But at the time, in the summer, nobody wanted to talk about it. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's because some of the experts that I was going to didn't want to talk about it because of marketing reasons. I don't know if they didn't have the research about it. I don't know if they weren't feeling it. But now, folks, we're in September, and just the other day I got some mail from this great company that I use for chocolate at Christmas time. I get some chocolate gifts for folks, and they actually, they'll make some labels and do all these great things. They are a great company, and this is not by any stretch of the imagination an endorsement. It's just my opinion, and this is how I know about them, and this is how I ended up with this letter. World's Finest Chocolate, okay? So they sent me their seasonal brochure, but there's a letter from the CEO, and in part it reads, like other confectionery companies, they write, we have seen an unprecedented rise in the costs of most essential ingredients, such as cocoa, which has more than doubled in price over the last 6 months, and sugar, which continues to sit at all-time highs. I'll read that one part again. Cocoa, more than doubled in price in the past 6 months. Now, that brings us back to a little bit before May, when I started to see some coverage of this as we went into the summer of 2024. So I did some digging. I wanted to bring experts on the show to talk about it, and I'm going to try again to do so. One thing that I had learned was that as the world deals with warming climate, and no, we're not going to be dealing with that issue and that debate right now, but just come to agree that for various reasons, perhaps, but it is warming up along the equator, which is where cocoa trees flourish and grow. We're talking Central America, South America, Africa, even parts of Asia, where these trees grow for cocoa. That's part of the problem, that this warming climate is becoming prohibitive for these trees to grow. But if you do some more digging, particularly researchers in the industry, in the chocolate industry in the UK, are saying that there are regulatory problems as well, such as in Africa. And I don't know if these regulatory issues are because there aren't enough regulations or nobody's enforcing the regulations. And I would imagine that's probably some combination of the two options. This is an opportunity, though, I think, for farmers, investors, and scientists to team up, put together their brains, and come up with an opportunity for finding new real estate, finding new ways to grow cocoa and the trees. If it's becoming too hot along the equator, then theoretically that temperature is spreading to areas where perhaps it was not warm enough to grow cocoa before. Again, this is, though, something that I'm looking forward to exploring more as we go into the holidays, because one company is already starting to say, hey, the dominoes are falling, and I would imagine that others are as well. So I'm looking forward to digging into this as we get closer to the holiday season, because the possible chocolate shortage and the increase in chocolate prices, it's not ending. Chimp Crazy is a documentary that details the dangers of owning primates, and it's getting attention in Connecticut with U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal continuing to push for approval of the bill called the Captive Primate Safety Act. It would prohibit interstate commerce and private ownership of all primates. And this is a bill that has come up since 2009. When there was an attack in Stamford, Connecticut, of all places, a chimp attack on Carla Nash. So I don't understand why anybody would want a pet primate, but this is a problem, and it has come up every year just about since 2009. Here we are, 2024, 15 years later, and it's just gotten attention this past week. The Avery Heights Retirement Community in Hartford is going to be holding its annual golf outing coming up on Wednesday, October 2nd. So this is something that you can plan for ahead of time. It'll be at the Tunxus Plantation Country Club, which is located in Farmington. Staff, sponsors, vendors, residents, friends are all going to be gathering here for a full day of golf, lunch, prizes, cocktails, and dinner, all supporting Avery Heights. And what it says is its goal to help seniors live healthy, productive, and quality lives. I hope they have good weather for that. October, you know, it can be a little questionable, so we're hopeful that they'll have a good day. The Connecticut Catholic Men's Conference is holding its 17th annual statewide conference coming up on Saturday, September 21st at Northwest Catholic High School in West Hartford. It's an event drawing Catholic men from all across Connecticut. They're uniting basically in the center of the state from all quarters, Greenwich, Grevener, Dale, Salisbury, Stonington, and everywhere in between here into West Hartford. This year's conference is going to be focusing on Catholic theology and death, judgment, hell, and heaven. For more information, you can visit ctcatholicmen.org. Their doors have been open since 1975. Let me try that again on Spotlight Connecticut. Our headlines here, getting a little tongue-tied. Their doors have been open for 175 years. Central Connecticut State University is opening its 175th anniversary series at the L.U. Burritt Library. Now in its 175th year, Central is launching this exhibit to feature various archival materials. Check this out. They're going to be celebrating the university's past with some historic photos, early course catalogs, bulletins, student newspapers, and more. It opens this coming Monday, September 9th, at 4 in the afternoon, and it's going to continue for several hours into the evening. So something to check out at Central Connecticut State University, no doubt. This, as you can also enjoy our anniversary series here at WTIC because, well, we're turning 100 years of age this coming February. And it's hard to believe. It's almost upon us. I started this anniversary effort for WTIC in 2020. I said, well, it'll be 2025 before you know it. And here we are, what, 5 months? 5 months away from turning 100, celebrating 100 years of devotion to our community and documenting Connecticut history as we have gone along since 1925. So definitely worth a major celebration, the legacy, right? Because this legacy is why you listen to WTIC. If we changed format all these years, you know, every 10 years, a new format, this, that, and the other, the audience wouldn't have been as consistent. It wouldn't have been as stable. If we changed our mission, again, we wouldn't have listeners who've been here for 10 years, 60 years, and everywhere in between, right? So we appreciate your listening for however long it has been and staying with us in our mission as we continue to celebrate it on WTIC. So our monthly series continues. We had one last weekend with Mike Allen. We'll do another one at the end of this month, Saturday afternoons at 2 on the last Saturday of every month. But here's the question that I get from a lot of people. How do I hear the audio once it has aired? Well, it is available through the WTIC Spotlight Connecticut podcast using Audacy platforms, AUDACY, and wherever you get your podcasts for the most part, you'll find it there. You could also go more simply to WTIC.com. And on the top banner, you'll see more and just select WTIC 100 years. So go to WTIC.com, click under more and select WTIC 100 years. You're going to want to look for the Spotlight Connecticut shows. And they're clearly labeled. Our Spotlight Connecticut singles. Are you a match for a woman between the ages of 45 and 55 in the Connecticut and New York area? This is from former Spotlight Connecticut guest Jill Dunn. She is our matchmaker, and we do this every week because it's hard to meet new people in the era of cell phones. And so she's trying to get it old school, right? So she wants to know if you're active, adventurous, outgoing, and caring, a dog lover, and someone who wants a long-term committed partnership. If that sounds like you, you might be a good match for an intelligent, creative client. His initial is A. He's outgoing, generous, a risk taker, loves to cook, loves to travel, spends time in his garden. He's a successful television and film director, so check that out. If you're interested, email hello@jillinit.com. Our friend Jill, she'll help you out. Today on Spotlight Connecticut, a group of Connecticut youngsters, they traveled over 300 miles to the 1973 Summer Jam concert in Watkins Glen, New York for a pop-up concert. And radio program that allowed them front row access to the Allman Brothers Band, the Grateful Dead, and the band, Connecticut and WTIC radio engineer John Ramsey, one of them. He'll be with us in a moment to celebrate that long weekend 51 years ago. As we continue on WTIC News Talk 1080, I'm Morgan Cunningham on Spotlight Connecticut.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
I'm Morgan Cunningham, and this is Spotlight Connecticut on WTIC. As we welcome John Ramsey to the show, Connecticut engineer and WTIC radio engineer who was there for the concert and pop-up radio broadcast at Watkins Glen, New York, which was kind of a follow-up to Woodstock. Now, John, how did you develop your interest in radio?
Well, my dad got me a transistor radio kit when I was probably 10 or 12 years old back in the 60s, and we built that together and tuned in radio for the first time. And I had an older brother who was listening to WDRC and WPOP here in Hartford during the British invasion and the rock and roll top 40 revolution. So I got interested in the programming, but also in the technical side of things, and ended up building a couple more radio kits and really fell in love with the technology of radio and with radio as a medium.
When did you start working in radio officially? As a teenager?
Yeah, I got my first radio show was in 1970 at the University of Hartford station, WWH. They had a need for somebody to fill in on the vacations and on weekends and stuff. And by the time I became 16, a year later, I was actually working as a weekend board operator at WEXT, which was a country station in Hartford.
When did you start experimenting with radio on your own?
No, I built my own radio station in my basement back in 1969. Just covered really the house to play tunes for my parents and my brother and sister and stuff. And we took turns doing shows, and then it expanded a little bit more and a little bit more. And after a while, it was covering the whole neighborhood.
So if I've got the timeline, little John Ramsey falls in love with radio, the radio bug,
yeah,
as we like
definitely
to call it.
Yeah, I was a radio geek, you know, before there were computer geeks. You know, radio was everything.
I was a radio geek when there were computer geeks.
Yeah, right?
So you were interested in radio as a young kid. You worked in radio and you kind of ran your own little household radio station. And at some point in time, in a way, the follow-up to Woodstock in 1973, here comes this big concert. Watkins Glen, New York is where it happened. And you found yourself not only there for the show, but there for some radio efforts as well. What is Watkins Glen? Because I think that's where we should start there. Before we even talk about your radio experience there, we should talk about Watkins Glen because everybody pays attention to Woodstock. That's the famous one.
Yeah.
But this, 600,000 people were there for this concert series.
Yeah, Watkins Glen is a big racetrack in upstate New York, known well to race enthusiasts. And I think this was their first concert. Jimmy Koplik and Shelley Finkel in 1973, they'd been doing concerts locally for a year or two. I know Jimmy was 23, Shelley was a little bit older. And they had this idea of doing this huge concert. They booked Watkins Glen Racetrack in New York to do it. And they booked three of the largest bands at the time, the Allman Brothers, the Grateful Dead, and the Band. All three bands with cult followings and would routinely sell out, 20,000 seat amphitheaters.
How did they pull that off?
That's a question for Jimmy, I guess. But yeah, they did a wonderful job and they learned from Woodstock. Woodstock had 300,000 people there. You know, they really didn't collect very much money because it was the gates were overrun by people. But the Woodstock stage was too small. Transportation was a problem for the artists. They didn't have good sanitation and they didn't have good first aid. Jimmy and Shelley wanted to do better and have a big show, so they booked these three super bands at Watkins Glen Racetrack and had a huge stage and really good first aid and really good porta potties and sanitation, all the things that you need to have a good show.
There was this idea for a clandestine radio station that was part of this whole Watkins Glen concert series, and you were part of it somehow. And I don't quite know how this came to be. Who thought this up?
Yeah, in 73, I was 18 years old, and I had a bootleg station in my basement, a station that was covering about a 5 or 10-mile radius from Hartford, where I lived. And my friends and I were doing pretty cool programming. Back then, there weren't many jazz stations at all in the United States. We were doing a lot of jazz programming and a lot of progressive rock programming, which wasn't on any of the commercial stations to any great extent. So we had a pretty good schedule and a pretty good way of doing radio. In the early July of 73, a mutual friend introduced me to this guy, Jack Chamberlain, who was a Channel 30 employee, and he had the idea to run a clandestine radio station out of the back of a trailer for the Summer Jam Watkins Glen concert.
Were these the kinds of bands that you were listening to, Allman Brothers and that kind of thing?
Yeah, that was the type of music that my friends and I listened to when we played on the air. So he had this wonderful idea of doing this and had some equipment, but he didn't really have a lot of technical expertise. He was more of a programmer. And so he hooked up through a mutual friend with me, and I was able to provide a FM transmitter, and we found an AM transmitter from a mutual friend's, and we were going to run a bootleg AM and FM station from this Summer Jam concert, which we thought would be big, but we had no idea how big it was going to turn out to be.
So the music is just right. It's right up your alley, so that's something you're interested in. You've got the radio skills and abilities, so that works. Now let's talk a little bit about the logistics. So you have this show that you guys want to do, and you want to do it live from the concert series, some kind of companion programming, if you will, to match the programming, to match the concert, what people are watching and listening to and trying to get to. Maybe some people didn't even make it, right? And they're having to listen on the radio. So you get what looks like a camper. I'm seeing a picture here. And it's an old camper, would you say, and the letters CFR, AM, and FM.
Well, Jack's idea was to get up there 4 or 5 days early so we could broadcast to the crowds, both in the auditorium, at the venue, and also stuck in traffic probably if it was going to be a big show. Because this is 1973, Morgan. Nobody had a Walkman. Nobody had an iPod. Nobody had a phone that had music on it. If you were to be stuck camping out, or if you're going to go camping out for 2 or 3 days at a racetrack waiting for a concert, because unlike Woodstock, where music was on about 18 hours a day for 3 days, Summer Jam was just Saturday night. You moved in, you got up there on Friday or Saturday, one show with three bands, maybe 6 or 8 hours, and then it was all over. So you'd bring an AM/FM portable radio with you because there was no portable boomboxes or anything. So we knew that a lot of the people in the crowd would have a radio. So we'd broadcast the in advance of the show. We were hoping. Now, this was all done under the table. Nobody knew. None of the promoters knew that we were doing this. The bands didn't know we were doing this. But we were hoping to make some contacts and be able to broadcast the actual concert to the audience that couldn't get within range. And we ended up doing that, which was great.
Sticking it to the man. Power to the people. You know, that kind of early 70s message. What does CFR stand for? Because people who live in this region likely can pick up Canadian radio stations, right? Yeah. CKLW, CFZM, or ZM, as they say, you know, for Z. But this is not a Canadian station.
No, we didn't look at a map. We probably should have, but we thought, being young, that, oh, Watkins Glen, it's in upstate New York. It's got to be really close to the Canadian border, right? And, of course, it's not much closer to the Canadian border than Hartford is. And luckily, we checked a map before we drove and got to the place. But we thought we would pretend, because we had everything we needed to do to broadcast, except we didn't have a license. And so we thought, we'll pretend we're a Canadian station broadcasting a remote from the concert site in New York back over the border to our mothership, so to speak, and over the border in Canada. And so we picked Canadian call letters, CFR, and we coined it as Concert Free Radio after the during the event.
Isn't that genius? John Ramsey, our guest on Spotlight Connecticut. They say that you don't do shout-outs on talk radio. That's an old, old rule, but I throw that rule out when applicable.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And in the last half hour, got some messages here, and one of them comes from a listener that we refer to as Uncle Marty's niece. She doesn't want her real name going out over the radio. I don't know. I don't know what she's trying to hide. I don't know what she's trying to pull. But that is the case. So she goes by Uncle Marty's niece. I don't even know the name and its origin. I guess that she's her uncle's Martin. I don't know. But anyway, she writes to me on social media at MC News Talk. You are right. That chocolate shortage has to be real. The chocolate I buy now does not taste the same. I'm telling you, this is a thing. I haven't necessarily experienced the taste difference. Maybe a few brands, but the ones that I like, the ones that I prefer for chocolate, I haven't. But that chocolate shortage I was talking about at the beginning of the program, it's real. And a lot of people to this point haven't wanted to talk about it, admit it, face it, whatever. And again, it might be because some of these companies don't want to address it for marketing, but the dominoes are starting to fall. I read the letter from World's Finest Chocolates in Chicago that I received that they're dealing with this increase in chocolate prices, that it's actually a global phenomenon because it's warmer. The cocoa plants, trees are struggling to grow and produce as much. And maybe there are some regulatory issues in Africa as well. So this is something that I want to dig into more on Spotlight Connecticut. So stay tuned. And hopefully as we get into the holidays, because this issue is not going anywhere, we'll have someone on the show and we can analyze it a little bit more. But I also got a message from a reliable listener who actually I just started to hear from recently, Jason in Stafford Springs. He was having a problem actually getting the show as a podcast, and he wrote to me trying to get help because he was listening to it on an outlet that doesn't exist anymore. You know, we feed it out over Odyssey, AUDACY, but the Spotlight Connecticut podcast available on Odyssey is sent out elsewhere, Apple Podcasts and so on, and where he was listening, it had actually stopped working, but he has since found a replacement for it. But he writes that he loves Spotlight Connecticut, that he's happy to hear about local creators and businesses and topics, especially having moved to Connecticut from the South, and he's enjoying learning about everything that we have to offer here in Connecticut. And that's exactly what we're out to do, right? And our guest, John Ramsey, who is a Connecticut native, born and raised in West Hartford, guess what? Still lives in West Hartford. He is not only our engineer here at WTIC, but he engineers at other radio stations elsewhere in this region. And he's been doing radio engineering ever since the 1970s when he was there for the pop-up programming for Watkins Glen and the big summer jam that brought out the Allman Brothers, the band, and also the Grateful Dead, who we just heard a moment ago, getting back into the show. John has been a big part of Connecticut radio history and the backbone of it, even if people don't necessarily know him by name. And 51 years ago, that big concert was going on, and he was part of CFR, Concert Free Radio. So, John, I imagine you had to get up there early to begin the prep. When did you get up there?
We got there a day or two early before the gates opened and set up right in the press area and, took up all the electrical outlets in the press area for our equipment, put the antennas up, got the AM and FM running and started playing music. And right next to us, or right across the driveway from us, was the temporary state police barracks where they were providing security and stuff. And they were curious on what we were doing. And so we hooked up with them, and they wanted us to do traffic reports for them. They had a helicopter, if you looked out from our trailer, to our right was the main stage, to our left was a big field where the helicopters landed with all the artists coming and going, and supplies being brought in. So we were able to use their helicopter pilots. Often they'd go on the air and give traffic reports, because just like with New York City, just like with Woodstock, the New York State Thruway was closed down with 24 hours at a time with all the traffic. There was a disastrous traffic jam. So the helicopter pilots would either go on the air live with us to do traffic reports, or they would transcribe them to us and we'd write them down and read them ourselves. So the state police were very happy we were doing that. And the quid pro quo was that the state police offered for us to be able to use their commissary. They had a outdoor cookout there for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, which was good because, Morgan, one of the funny stories about this was that about 12 hours before we left, there were 8 or 9 of us involved with this volunteer project to run this bootleg radio station from Summer Jam. We realized we'd need food. We may not be able to, there may not be, food available up there. So we pooled all of our money, came up with about $110, and sent one of our guys out to the grocery store 8 hours before we left to get food. And he came back with a whole bunch of boxes and bags. We packed it up. Now, I'd mentioned earlier that we'd taken the kitchen out of the trailer to make room for the radio equipment and the refrigerator. When we get to Watkins Glen, we set up and realized what he'd brought for us was 12 cases of Budweiser and about a dozen cases of SpaghettiOs.
Now, the essentials, right?
We didn't have a refrigerator to cool the beer, and we didn't have a stove to cook the SpaghettiOs. You're talking about warm beer and cool SpaghettiOs.
Nasty.
Not good. So we were very thankful that the state police let us use their commissary, and we ate very well all of the entire week that we were there.
I love how impromptu this whole trip was, right? You guys have the interest and the skill, but you went up with minimal, if any, planning.
Yeah, yes. I mean, Jack had the wonderful idea of doing it. He pulled together a bunch of friends, including me, that had the expertise, the technical expertise to pull it off. But if we knew what we were getting into, we wouldn't have even tried. But we ended up going to Summer Jam, which turned out to be it is still the largest attendance of any rock concert in America, 600,000 plus. That's twice Woodstock. It also is the largest gathering in U.S. history. There may be one that's on par with it that was not a rock concert, but 600,000 people all in one place. I think the statistic was, according to Wikipedia, one out of every 300 Americans was at Watkins Glen.
Wow.
And like one out of every 19 people under the age of 20 were there. I mean, that's a huge undertaking. So if we had any idea what was involved, I had a bit of I wasn't thrilled about crowds when I was 18 years old. I've gotten over the phobia, but I didn't even go out into the crowd. Everybody else who went with us took turns going out into the crowd.
But you didn't?
I didn't. Big crowds didn't thrill me at the time. And back then, as I mentioned, everybody had AM/FM portable radios, and the show was supposed to be only Saturday night. When Jim and Shelley opened the gates early and made it a free concert on Friday, and they had probably 300,000 people in there by the end of the day of Friday, 24 hours before the concert was going to start. He'd convinced to get all three bands to do sound checks. And the Grateful Dead routinely would do a two or three hour sound check anyways at any show. So the Dead went on and did a 2.5 hour sound check Friday afternoon. And then the Allman Brothers did a 3 hour sound check, and then the bands did one too. So there was shows, there was music the night before, but all my friends that went through the crowd said, everybody, other than when the band's playing, everybody's got an AM or FM radio. They're listening to our station because we were playing a lot of Grateful Dead and Allman Brothers and bands. So I think, Morgan, being a radio guru geek like I am, there's been pirate radio started in the British Isles when when the government wouldn't allow commercial stations or anything other than the BBC.
Radio London, Radio Caroline,
yeah, they had millions of people listening, huge audiences. And there's been pirate radios domestically, but I think we can probably say that Concert Free Radio had the largest domestic audience, albeit only for 2 or 3 days. Because of the 300 or 600,000 people there, I would bet one out of every 5 or 6 people had a radio, and most of them were listening to it. So I think there were probably 100,000 listeners at any given time when the band wasn't playing.
Wasn't there a test that, I don't know, maybe if you said something over the air and people flicked their headlights?
Well, Watkins Glen is on a bit of a hill, and you could see at night, you could see headlights because the traffic was stopped. You could see headlights miles and miles away. We had listeners, we had people stop by that said they were listening 40 miles away because of the height made the difference. But Jack was doing a show one night around 11, and he stopped the record and said, "Hey, we can see you guys from up here. I'm going to step out of the broadcast booth for a minute, and if you're listening, flash your lights." And he went out, and there were hundreds of nudges of cars flashing their headlights, which is pretty impressive.
So this went on 24/7. You broadcast 24/7.
Yes, yeah. We all took turns. There were, as I said, 7 or 8 of us doing shifts on the air. We had Bob Weir stop by from the Grateful Dead. He's a famous artist, and he stopped by, and we interviewed him on the air. We had Bill Graham, the promoter, famous from a whole bunch of things, Woodstock, and also from the Fillmore, East and West. He owned them. He came on the air. And I got a chance to meet Ron Winkersham, who was one of the principals in the Dead Sound Company, Alembic, which had this was the debut of the Wall of Sound, which to this day is the largest sound system ever built. So we got a chance to meet to work with Ron. At that point, this was Saturday morning, and we hadn't been able to hook up and be able to broadcast the concert because we didn't have the wire that we needed. We needed about 500 feet of wire. And I said to Ron, I said, "Do you have any cable?" He says, "No, we've used it all." He says, "But why don't you just, when the show starts tonight, why don't you just put the transmitter up on the stage?"
And problem solved.
Problem solved. And so we ended up doing that. The only problem that I had to solve myself was that it was the FM transmitter was a Korean War man portable surplus transmitter that weighed 70 pounds. So lugging a 70-pound transmitter,
ouch,
up on the stage, and I climbed the scaffolding, put the antenna up there, and we ended up broadcasting the evening concert late into the early morning hours during the jam session.
Well, you know what I would say about that. No one cares about FM, so don't bother.
Oh, there you go. Now, being a radio guy, too, this story I would not believe if I didn't witness it with my own eyes.
What is it?
When we were done with the live, when the jam was over at like 3 o'clock on Sunday morning, I turned the transmitter off and carried it back to the studio in the rain, to the trailer, and was ready to turn it back on, and I figured I'd just tune around. I had an FM radio, see what other stations were playing. There weren't a lot of other stations on back then in that part of the Lakes region of New York. One station, and it had to be a college station, because you would get fired if you did this, if you're a commercial station. One station I heard say, you know, normally we stay on all night, but we're shutting off early because everybody's listening to that other station.
Oh, geez.
And so it had to be a college DJ, and people, how would he know people were calling? Hey, there's this cool station on there. So
we're not listening to you.
Yep. So they shut off. We put ours on and continued, and we knew we wouldn't, you know, the show was over at that point. We knew we wouldn't be able to get out for 2 or 3 days because the traffic would be so bad. 600,000 people, that was probably...
kept broadcasting after that, too?
Probably 300,000 cars that had to get out of there because most people went up with just a friend or two. So, yeah, we broadcast until Monday, and then we were able to move out. And the police appreciated us doing the traffic information and all that. Health and welfare information. It would have, you know, hospital information about where the first aid stations were and about where food was available and... etc.
Connecticut radio engineer and hobbyist and WTIC engineer John Ramsey remembering Concert Free Radio.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
I'm Morgan Cunningham. It's Spotlight Connecticut as we continue on this Saturday afternoon with John Ramsey remembering Concert Free Radio. Let's wrap things up. Welcome back, John.
Great to be here.
Were you ever nervous during this whole endeavor in Watkins Glen? Were you nervous to interact with any of the bands? Were you nervous the promoters were going to find out? Were you nervous about radio aspects?
No, Bill Graham, the promoter, one of the promoters, loved the idea. Phil Lesh from the Grateful Dead came by. We had some other members of the band that stopped by. They all thought it was a great idea. Nobody questioned its legitimacy. Just broadcasting, you know, to the people is a pretty cool thing back in the hippie days of the 70s.
You did have the long hair to prove it, too, may I add.
And the state police didn't have any questions whether they believed we were a Canadian station or they didn't care. We were just providing them with
a service.
It worked out very, very well.
Are you disappointed that recordings that you tried to make of this didn't come out? You had told me that you tried and, well, didn't work.
We didn't record any of our own programming that we originated. We didn't even think that it would be historically significant, and whether it is or isn't is up to somebody else to decide. But we wanted to record the actual live performances, and I sent word back to do that, and we did. But unfortunately, the recorder was set up improperly, and we ended up with a recording full of echo, so it wasn't usable.
Bummer.
And frankly, those that were there, the jam session that took place, you know, 8 or 9 hours into the concert, the musicianship was really good in some cases, and some people in the bands had a little bit too much to imbibe, so some of the musicianship was a little rough. That's, I think, why there was never any live recording released of the jam session from Watkins Glen.
Right, because there's so much that's been released concerning Woodstock, album after album, and reissue, and remix, and photos, and books, and so on. Watkins Glen's been a little forgotten in that way.
Yeah, it was the 50th anniversary last year, and there's an author who I've been interviewed by that's doing a book about the big festivals that were spawned by Woodstock, Altamont, Watkins Glen. There were a few more, and he's going to do a chapter on Watkins Glen, and he's going to have a subsection on the clandestine station. And then also there's a group out of Connecticut that are working on doing a full-length feature movie on Summer Jam, which will be a lot of fun. It definitely needs to be documented. Again, the largest, 600,000 people, the largest rock concert attendance ever in the United States, and still to this date, tying with the largest attendance of, largest gathering of any event in the United States.
I bet when you came back to West Hartford, you must have been seen as some kind of a hero among friends that knew you did this,
No? I mean, this was before social media, so that my close friends, most of them were there with me. You know, we came and we did it, and then we moved on with other things, so... It wasn't much until 50 years later, until last year, when the Hartford Current picked up on the story. And again, there's this filmmaker that's working on it, that's filming a bunch of us. There wasn't much to do about it.
So you moved on with life, basically, afterward.
Yeah.
Would you do it again? If you could go back in time?
Yeah, I think so, yes. It was certainly a wonderful thing to be involved with. I had a chance to tell Jim Koplik about it. I worked with him at another station about 15 or 20 years ago, and I mentioned to him that we'd done this clandestine station at Summer Jam. He goes, "Oh, we heard about it. That's great. You know, good job. Tell me more." So I sent him some pictures and stuff. So
that's great.
The promoters knew about it, but they had their hands full. Him and Shelley had other things going on than having to worry about the pirate station. So, and it was a free concert, so we weren't taking revenue away from them by broadcasting the show.
It surprises me that would be free. I guess that might have been thing.
The ticket prices originally were $6 or $8, I forget, a piece. But after they sold the first 100,000 and by Friday morning, another 100,000 people were
out
the gate.
They couldn't stop it,
They couldn't, yeah. They would have trampled the gates and people would have been crushed if they didn't. I mean, they did it because they realized there was no chance to collect money from all those people. So they made enough to pay their expenses, I'm guessing, because they had 100,000 plus people paying $5 or $10 a piece. That's a lot of money, but it worked out well.
It's a shame those recordings don't exist. I'd play some or something. I'd play one of your old interviews or
And there were film crews there too, and I've never seen any video from it other than just stock footage. I mean, all the networks, NBC stopped by our studio, and they knew, they were winking at me. They knew that we didn't have a license, and they took some footage.
That you weren't Canadian.
But they took some footage, but I don't think that ever got to air because we weren't the focus, certainly, of the concert. The concert was the people. I mean, first it was the bands, but also 600,000 people, that's a lot.
The folks that you did this with, are you still friends with them to this day? Have you kept in touch the last 51 years?
Some of them, yes. Some of them, unfortunately, no. Although Jack Chamberlain, whose idea it was to do this, and he was the leader of the gang, I got together with him over the summer. And so I hadn't seen him in 51 years. And we got a chance to get together and reminisce. And
What was that like?
It was great. Share stories. He'd had a wonderful career in radio and as a police officer and as a commercial airline pilot. So
he did it all.
He'd done it all, right?
Basically what he was doing in 1973, except for the plane aspect.
Yeah, he's done well for himself, and it was great to reunite with him.
John, I think we're about out of time here on Spotlight Connecticut, but I really did enjoy chatting with you a bit more about concert-free radio. John Ramsey, an engineer here in Connecticut, and a bit of a radio historian. You may remember him from the Broadcaster at 100, our first episode to celebrate WTIC's 100 years. We're getting close.
Yes, that's exciting.
It is. Look at this. You're part of CFR. You're part of WTIC. What haven't you done? John, thanks for coming on.
My pleasure.
Seriously. What hasn't John Ramsey done? I ask again of the audience. A great story, a very cool story, and a niche one involving somebody here in Connecticut, got a start in Connecticut, and still is here and flourishing in the state. Remember, next week, no show, no Spotlight Connecticut, because the Red Sox game will be on. That ought to be a crime. That ought not to be allowed, but hey, whatever. It is what it is. These are the rules in talk radio. So next week, no Spotlight Connecticut, but we will be back on September 21st at 2 in the afternoon, and we're going to be talking about the Merritt Parkway, its rich history and future challenges, especially as we talk so much about how to improve transportation in Connecticut. So that's going to be a big conversation in 2 weeks, two Saturdays from now. But until then, a little more Allman Brothers to take us out of here.
Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham, embracing what's fun with Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.